tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you're coming, all you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna call my shot. Tell you what I've got. Raw rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into raw rage. Raw rage. Raw rage.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. Lots to get to. We are talking wide receivers. There's been a lot of conversation about the wide receivers as we lead up. You know, it's interesting. It feels like, from a Clemson perspective, like there's a lot of talk about everything but quarterback, which is sort of interesting. I mean, and that's the position that ultimately is going to decide everything. And there's one start in that room. This is my only problem with Wesco and Moore. My problem with Wesco and Moore and any of the other guys that could be a part of this room is that they're all quarterback dependent. Now, I'll say this. I think that the Clemson quarterback this year is going to be surrounded by better weapons than either the last two guys had. I know that you can say, well, Cade had those guys a year ago. Well, Wesco got hurt, and they're both a year more mature now. It's not the same thing. Okay, one thing is 100% certain, at least on paper. This is the best receiving core Clemson has had in a long time. That much is true. That's a given. And if Chad Morris is one of his operating methods is to get the ball to playmakers in space, then he should be able to do that. And the quarterback should be able to do that. So this is an area that Clemson has to win in. These receivers have to win their one-on-one battles. Football's all about that. Football's all about winning one-on-one battles. Either you do and you win or you don't. That's what it's all about. And that's what Chad Morris is going to look to do. He's going to look to involve his receivers and get them and use Chris Johnson the same way. Get them in one-on-one matchups in space. That's what he's going to try and do. And if he can do that, then you have a chance of having some success. I'm a believer in the talent in the running back room. I think I'm a believer in the offensive line, I think. I don't have a lot to go on, quite frankly. But I think I believe in that, and that's going to be instrumental to any potential success that Clemson might have. So that's where I am on this. That's where I am. All right, on the wide receivers, Ramona, what number were we on? Hello?
We are on, did you do Ryan Williams? He's Alabama.
Yeah.
So we already did him. We're at 16, Mario Craver.
Are you all right in there?
Yes. I had to pull it back up.
Paul. Okay, all right. I mean, I'm just doing a wellness check on you. You seemed a little odd.
No. 16.
I thought the sun might be beating on your head through that window or something.
No. And I have a window right here. I can look out.
Ryan Williams. Yeah, I used to be able to look out here. I don't have that anymore. You know, they say, like, this is probably a bad analogy, but they say, like, when you lose your leg or something, you still think it's there.
Window?
Yeah, the window is my leg. I still think it's there.
But, you got one right there. But
well, it's not right there. It's
really
on the other
convenient.
Side of the counter.
I know.
Right.
It's not convenient.
You can't see it from here.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, you can't even see it at all from here because it's behind the computer.
True.
To go look out that window, you have to specifically go to look out a window. As well go look out any other window in the whole place.
That's true. You know what I'm saying? That's true. Yes.
There used to be two windows on each side here. They're now gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. All right. Mario Craver at Texas A&M.
Craver is like a little jitterbug. He's tiny. What they list him at? I think he's like, at most, he's like 5'9", 165. He's probably in real life like 5'7", and 155. But they probably list him at, I don't know what they list him at, 5'9", 165?
Yeah, that's what they list him at.
5'9", 165?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's a lie. All right, so he's probably like 5'7", 155.
You think?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Yeah, those heights are always exaggerated. So, yeah. But whatever he is, he's a little dynamo with the ball in his hands. He's super explosive, fast, quick. He has all those things. He's just a playmaker. He's really, really dangerous. And I expect him to have a big year. So he's, what number do I have him at?
16.
Yeah. Actually, that may not be high enough in terms of what his productivity is. But this is a tough list to make. 25 receivers from the entire nation.
Okay, 15 is Nazea. Is that right? Nazea Hunter?
Yeah, he's a guy that the nation really has no clue on because he's hiding in plain sight in Lincoln, Nebraska, where it used to be that anything that happened in Lincoln, Nebraska in relation to football, the whole world saw. It's not that way anymore. Now nobody sees it. It's
sad.
It is. It's sad. And he may be the best-kept secret in all of college football, quite honestly. You know, for years, Iowa produces these tight ends at the NFL level. They don't have any productivity in college because they don't throw the ball. And then they go to the pros and they excel because they've been well hit and they're asked to block at Iowa. This guy is sort of like that. You know, there's almost like nothing to play for in like in Nebraska anymore. And this guy is like the one star, but he can't even be a star because they don't have somebody who can throw the ball, and there's just nothing surrounding him. But you're talking about a guy who's 6'2", 210, and in high school he ran like a 10-4 500 meter. He is legitimate. He is what an NFL wide receiver looks like, and he is being hidden in plain sight in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's a guy that people should have gone after. You know, I mean, really 100% a guy that people should have gone after. You know, I'll get back to this in a little bit, but yeah.
Okay, 14 is TJ Moore at Clemson.
Yeah, I don't know how you separate Moore and Wesco. I don't think you really can. I mean, you can pick and choose. When they both came in, I actually thought that Moore would wind up being better because he was more physical, bigger body, and that and he was not there for the first spring, so he was at a little bit of a disadvantage. I can't really separate Moore and Wesco. They're two different guys. They're different types of receiver. You know, Quakin asked a poll question the other day about 4th and 3, you know, who you going to, and it listed all these guys I guess Ben wasn't there when he did it originally, and Ben answered the other day and said that he would probably go TJ Moore. Wesco was leading that poll. I would also go TJ Moore. I think for obvious reasons, he's a bigger body. He's a bigger, stronger body. So if I need 3 yards, I'm going to go with the guy who can better shield a defender with a bigger, stronger body and maybe has stronger hands. That's the guy I'm going with. There's no doubt about that. And fourth and three, I'm sorry, that takes the run out of the equation. You're not running on 4th and 3. You know, unless it's a quarterback draw, you spread everybody out, you run a quarterback draw, but you're not running on 4th and 3. That's a passing down. If it had been 4th and 1, then you bring the running backs into the equation, but 4th and 3 is a passing down. And so to me, that answer is Moore. Moore is a physical presence. He's 6'3". He's probably 225, whatever he is. He's strong. He's got good hands. I think he gets better and better each passing year, and this should be his best season. Plus, he seemed to have a little bit of chemistry with Vezina. All right, so he's at 14?
Yeah, 13 is Bryant Wesco.
And, you know, Wesco would perhaps be higher if it weren't for coming off the injury. We've seen some good signs thus far. People internally tell me that Wesco had tied for the fastest 10-yard split of any Clemson player in like 10 years, which is amazing because, again, his 100-meter time was not that good in high school. I can't connect those dots. I don't have an answer. Maybe those times were early in his high school career. I'm not 100% sure. But the combination of these two guys is very good. The question is the quarterback play. I want to get back to these two guys and the Clemson quarterback, the Clemson wide receiver room as a separate conversation a little bit. So I'm not going to stay focused on right now. I'm coming back to them, all right? But I'm very high on both of these guys. I think potentially both have legitimate round one aspirations in the future. I think that they could get to that level. There's more to be seen. There's more work to be done in with both of them. And again, when I put these lists together, I'm always basing it in part on when I do the quarterbacks, it's what their world looks like. When I do the wide receivers, it's what their world looks like. Well, in my ACC quarterback rankings, I have Christopher Vezina ninth. So that's what their quarterback world looks like. We don't really know what the offensive line world looks like yet. Or, for that matter, the running back room world. I'm hopeful on those fronts. I think there's reason to be optimistic on those fronts. But we'll see.
12 is Ian Strong, California.
Yeah. As Strong as the Rutgers transfer, he's going to be the new number one wide receiver for Sagapolitelli, and there's the distinction. Here I have Sagapolitelli throwing the football, who might be the best pure passer in America, as I've said many times. So Strong is aptly named. He's a bigger physical receiver. He was playing with a bigger physical receiver in Duff, and now he decides to transfer. That was at Rutgers. And now he's at Cal, where he's going to be catching balls as the primary receiver, primary outside receiver for Sagapolitelli. And that's a good mix. That's a great mix because he has the great quarterback. Now, if you just ask me in a vacuum, do I like Wesco and Moore more than I like Strong? Yeah. I would say probably I do. But Sagapolitelli is throwing to Strong. And therein lies the difference.
11 is Danny Scudero at Colorado.
I love Scudero. Scudero is playing in the National Football League. Scudero is going to be a big-time problem in the NFL. He's going to wind up with the Rams or something and kill people. The world is sleeping on Scudero. Why, I don't know. Scudero was Walker Egett's favorite target at San Jose State. He led the nation in receiving yards last year. He had almost 1,300 yards. He can't be covered. He's always open. He's literally always open. And not only that, but I watched him timed in the 40 out at Colorado, and he outdid the other receivers. And I don't know what a laser timing would be, but he's faster than you think. He's probably legit 4.45, which is definitely faster than most people believe he is. He's probably 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. But trust me, he's always open. He has short area quickness. The Colorado receiving core, the two transfers that they brought in, could be a big-time story in college football this year. But again, this guy led the nation in receiving yards last year with 1,300 receiving yards, and I think he's going to be a problem. I'm actually surprised that Colorado is where he's at. I'm surprised that you know, an Alabama or something didn't come calling for Scudero. I promise you they would have been much better off for doing so. All right, we'll be back.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Hey, let me tell you about Lakeside Lodge, Clemson's a condo hotel in Lake Hartwell, Highway 123, right across the lake from Clemson. Pricing starts in the high 200s. Great as a vacation condo, investment property, or both. Lakeside Lodge, Clemson's unique concept blends the ownership of a vacation condo, the amenities of a resort. The resort includes an in-house bar and restaurant, traditions on the lake. It's incredible. Pool and hot tub, fire pit. I have lots to get to. There are a few strange things I want to get to at some point, too. Right now, we're talking about college football wide receivers. You can get in if you want, 654-7627. You know, I saw this discussion today on social media about where the Clemson wide receivers rank. And, again, I don't think you can evaluate people in a vacuum. I think you're evaluating them based on the supporting cast around them. I think that's the key. And, again, it's interesting to me that, you know, we get closer and closer, and maybe it's because there's so much uncertainty about quarterback, but no one's talking about quarterback. We talk about, you know, how good the wide receivers can be if the offensive line plays good, if the run game works. Well, those things are all true, but they all start with quarterback dependency. Do you have that part? Man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. We're going to find out. Not going to take long to find out. We're learning an awful lot or nothing when Clemson plays LSU.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, I don't really know what either team is. I mean, I think both teams have potential, but I also think both teams have lots of questions. Which is another reason I think the game is likely to be close, because I think both teams have that many questions. I mean, that's how I look at it going in. You can get in with how you look at it, 654-7627, 654-7627. You know, going back to the coaches thing for a second, I don't know. To me, like, there are tiers of coaches. There are probably tiers of everything. It's hard to separate. It's hard to just rank guys straight down a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, if you're basing on snapshot of the moment, like a power rating, well, then the number one coach in America is Cignetti. And number two is probably Ryan Day. That's probably where you are right now if you're looking at a power rating. Now, if you're looking at something beyond that, you know, a bigger, broader look at college football, then Dabo Swinney would be right there. Kirby Smart would be right there. I'm inclined to think that if you're going to put tiers, you still put those gentlemen on tier one. It doesn't matter. If you're a disgruntled Clemson fan the last few years, whatever. Okay, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been perfect for Georgia of late either. You know, some will say, well, it's been better. Well, better is not, you know, they're in the national championship business. Well, except for now, since the whole SEC has decided that national championships aren't really what matters. What really matters is strength of schedule. That's how we determine everything now, strength of schedule. Whoever has the best strength of schedule, they win, according to the SEC now. All right, Ramona, where are we on our wide receiver list?
We're on 10, Ryan Wingo at Texas.
By the way, Ramona, my Mets actually have a star player.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Listen to the shock. The Mets.
No.
Yes, the Mets have Carson Benj, who is a young, budding superstar, for real.
He's going to the Mets.
He does everything well. Well, he plays on the Mets. The Mets have actually won 10 of their last 13 games. The Mets are 10-3 in the last 13 games. The Mets are actually finally playing good baseball. And Carson Benj is a big part of the reason why. He hits. He wasn't a slump, but he hits. He rakes. He hits with power. He hit a home run to straightaway center. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, whenever, over 450 feet, and he's still, you know, skinny. He's still growing into he's still maturing physically. But in the meantime, he's gunning runners out all over the place. He had two assists at home plate in one inning the other night. He threw out two runners at home plate. The Padres didn't learn the first time they tested him, so they tried again the next batter, and he threw him out too. at home plate. And the throws are some of the highest measured throws from a velocity standpoint the last 5 years in Major League Baseball. So the Mets finally have a young star. The Braves lost last night. They gave up 4 runs in the first inning to the 20s. Not good. And lately that's been a little bit of an issue. First inning runs surrendered. They didn't give up anything the rest of the way, but they lost just on those 4 runs. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know what to make of Major League Baseball right now. Like, we're headed rapidly towards the playoffs. And, you know, I think when the Dodgers made the move they did, you thought, okay, well, this is just all about the Dodgers now. I don't know, man. Like, you look around Major League Baseball right now, who's really any good? I'm just not sure. You know, we had a great game last night. The White Sox and Cubs played a tremendous game, very competitive game anyway. And it ended on a walk-off home run from a guy who's probably going to win the National League MVP. And he started it with a home run. He ended it with a home run in the 10th. But the White Sox and Cubs went at it. I mean, can you imagine if that was the World Series? Can you imagine if the World Series was the Cubs and the White Sox? That'd be absolute insanity for the greater Chicago area. But somebody wrote me yesterday and said, well, what if it's the Brewers and the White Sox? It would not be good for Major League Baseball. You know, in a way it would, because you'd have two. I don't know if you can call the White Sox a smaller market. I mean, Chicago's not a small market, but they're sort of a small market team. They're not the Cubs. I mean, Ramona thought they were an obsolete franchise, you know, until Garnet and Gold started calling in. So I don't think it's impossible. I mean, I really don't. Like, if you ask me today who I think's winning the World Series, I don't really know. I don't really know if I'm lining up behind the Dodgers right now. I don't know how healthy they're going to be. I'm just not sure. I mean, if they had all their pieces, yes, but how healthy are they? How healthy are they going to be? I'm just not sure. I'm starting to wonder about the Brewers or the Cubs. I mean, or even the White Sox. I think it's sort of wide open. I don't feel like there's any automatic answer. All right, what do you have, Ramona? Scudero was what, 12?
11. You 11? Already did him though.
Okay, yeah. I'm asking you.
Are you asking me who's next?
Oh my goodness, yes. Who is next after Scudero, Ramona?
For the second time,
oh, really?
Number 10, Ryan Wingo at
no,
Texas.
No, you never said that.
Yes,
that's false. That's a lie.
You start talking
no,
about
you
Mets.
Never said anything
okay,
about
Texters.
Ryan Wingo.
Everybody out there knows.
They know. They know. They know.
Yeah,
the
they
one
know.
Hard up guy will write, but they know. So
it's like Bo Jackson.
No, it's not the same. It's not. That's not the same. That was a little game we were playing. But no, I swear I did not hear you say Ryan Wingo. I don't think you said Ryan Wingo. You might have said that in your head. It may have been the ghost in your head.
No.
Perhaps. Yeah. So
all right.
10 is Ryan Wingo.
Exactly.
Okay. The other Texas receiver, the first Texas receiver. Ryan Wingo came out of high school as a 5-star. He has sensational athletic ability. I mean, this guy should be a superstar. He just hasn't really put it all together. Now, last year he started to, and he wound up with like 850 receiving yards, and so he started to put it together. You know, let me go back on Texas for a second, because a year ago, Texas was number one in preseason. They should never have been number one because they just didn't have the weapons. And Arch Manning did not have any help. Now, some of that was found out sort of during the season, but they could not run the ball. There are none of these teams that could not run the ball. You can't win if you can't run the ball anymore. They had Wisner and they had Baxter, Baxter came out of high school as the number one back, but blew up his knee, hasn't been quite the same. Wisner did not have a good year. He got better late in the year, but the season was already over. The Texas offensive line did not have a good year. They only had one real receiving weapon in Ryan Winga. So that was their whole team. They had Arch Manning, who was really starting for the first time, who really struggled the first half of the year because he had no weapons. And, you know, he basically opens up his season starting at Ohio State, which wasn't good. And so they didn't have help. They couldn't run it. The running backs weren't good. The offensive line wasn't good. And the receivers, other than Wingo, were not good. Now, you come back a year later, the offensive line vastly improved. The run game vastly improved because they went out and beat Alabama for Hollywood Smothers and then added Brown from Arizona State, two really gifted runners. And then they went out and got Cam Coleman, the best receiver available in the portal, who's an absolute freak, who's a future round one wide receiver. So now you have Coleman and Wingo. You have two talented running backs in Smothers and Brown. You have an offensive line that should go from bad to really good. And then you have a quarterback who should be elite. I mean, who absolutely should be elite. Manning was good the second half of the year. He should take a massive step forward this year, surrounded by the weapons he's now surrounded by. That'd be my expectation. So, in other words, I don't think Coleman's arrival hurts Wingo in any way, shape, or form. I think it likely helps him. Honestly, I think Texas could have 2,000-yard receivers in Coleman and Wingo. It should be one of the best pairings in the nation. That's what I would expect to see. And both are really potential round one picks in Coleman and Wingo. And both bigger receivers, too. I mean, Coleman's not thick, but he's incredible at the catch point. So, you know, he's a unbelievable talent. Really unbelievable. So that's what I would expect. I expect major improvement, which is why I think Texas is legitimately in contention for the national title. Now, again, they're going to have a difficult schedule, and they're going to have to navigate that, but that's the way it goes. All right, we have lots to get to. You can get in. 654-7627. Lines were completely jammed yesterday, but you can get in right now if you want. We'll be right back.
The countdown is on. 18 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
Snap, hold, kick on its way. Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
He hit it!
It's a 56-yard field goal to send Clemson to the playoffs.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
The only thing louder than the upper deck on a Saturday.
Score! Top had passed at the age of, 77?
Yeah, 77.
77. A texter alerted us to that. I did not know that. I had not seen that. Frank Beard of ZZ Top, legendary drummer. He must have been with them for like a million years. And when did he join them, Ramona?
1969.
Wow. Wow. So legendary drummer Frank Beard, ZZ Top, dead at the age of 77?
Is that it? Yes.
Very sad to hear that. We love ZZ Top. And I had not seen that, so I appreciate it being alerted by the texter. You know, another thing that we let pass, and we have not talked about, and Mike alerted me to this too, we have not discussed the death of Tommy John. Tommy John was a legendary figure in Major League Baseball, a man who got the most out of his talent, a man who seemed to have time for everybody. He was obviously had a surgery named after him that, quite honestly, saved many, many careers. We knew he had been ill. There was a couple days back, he had basically written, perhaps with the help of someone, what was essentially a goodbye note, not a suicide note, a goodbye note, knowing that the end was coming for him and that there were a few things he wanted to say before he passed on. And so really saddened to hear that. It was a death that we sort of knew was coming because, again, he had been ill. But legendary Tommy John, gone at, I believe he was, I want to say he was 84 or 86.
83.
Tommy John gone at the age of 83. Yep, very saddened to hear that. All right, we're talking wide receivers. You can get in if you want, 654-7627. Where do the Clemson wide receivers rank nationally? And how do you rank them if you're not evaluating them in a vacuum and you're actually trying to evaluate the entire picture? It becomes more difficult. And we're going to talk about all that in a little bit, get into a little more detail on that. Ramona, so who's 10?
10 is Ryan Wingo at Texas.
News 9.
9 is Isaiah.
By the way, we got some people say you didn't say it. We got some that said you did.
One that said I didn't say it, and the rest are saying I said
it. No, there's multiples that said you didn't say it, and the rest are, you know. Okay. And you got a couple there. They're just desperate. So, yeah.
Okay. Number 9 is Isaiah. I can't say his name. Satenya.
Satenya.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on. Isaiah Satenya.
Yeah, he's at Oklahoma.
Yeah. And he's number 9?
He's number 9.
Satenga really came on late last year for John Mateer. And Mateer did not have any weapons at Oklahoma before Satenga's emergence. Satenga is also a 100-meter guy. He can fly. In high school, he's a 10-5 100-meter guy. He's another of these guys who can flat-out fly. And he has good hands and he's tough and he can catch. There's just nothing to dislike. I actually think that Oklahoma is well positioned to make a bit of a run. Now they have, again, schedule issues. The strength of schedule is going to be very difficult. Satenga is going to be a star. And I think he has more help. Oklahoma went out and they picked up a smaller school, 1,000-yard receiver. They picked up a guy from Texas who I think is going to be an impact player for them. At 6'4", Parker Livingston. So I think Satenga is going to have more help. That'll make his job a little bit easier. And I expect Satenga to have a really big year statistically. I think John Mateer has a big year. And although he's bulked up some, and I'm a little worried about that, it's not advantageous for quarterbacks to bulk up too much. If you get too thick, it's hard to throw the ball. I think that may have been part of Trey Lance's problem. A little too tightly wound. And Mateer has spent maybe a little too much time in the weight room. So we'll see how that plays out. But I like that combination of Mateer and Satenga. I think this is the year that Mateer actually does become a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's going to have some really big games that if he wins, he'll be in that mix. Okay, so Satenga was number 8.
No, he's number 9.
No, excuse me, 9.
Number 8 is Dallas Wilson at Florida.
Illini Jesus didn't hurt Tebow. Yes, it did. He couldn't throw. I mean, so it certainly hurt him. I'm sorry.
8?
Yeah.
Dallas Wilson at Florida.
Maybe he just couldn't throw to begin with. He was effective collegially. He wasn't even the best player on his team. I mean, Percy Harvin was. Dallas Wilson is an absolute freak. I mean, an absolute freak. Like there's no way he should be 8, okay? I put him 8 because I just don't know if he can stay healthy. That's my biggest concern with him. If Dallas Wilson stays healthy, they have a receiver who's on the same tier with Jeremiah Smith. Florida has a guy in Dallas Wilson who's on that tier. He's 6'4". He can run. He has great hands. He's just there's nothing to dislike. Dallas Wilson could become. I mean, if Florida comes from nowhere under Summerall, Dallas Wilson would be a Heisman candidate. That's how gifted he is. I mean, he's a big, big-time talent. I mean, if you're talking strictly talent, okay, without regard for anything else, he might be two after Jeremiah Smith. That's the level he's at. Look, here's the thing. From 15 on up, these are all dudes. From 15 on up, these are all talented guys who are all going to be future top 100 draft picks. Every single one of the 15 guys, by my memory, is going to be a future top 100 draft pick. In other words, for top three rounds. Ramona, quickly go from 15 to where we are.
From 15?
Yeah.
15 is Isaiah Hunter, Nebraska.
Top 100.
14 is TJ Moore.
Top 100.
13 is Bryant Russo.
Top 100.
12 is Ian Strong at
top
California.
100.
11 is Danny
top 100.
Okay.
Unknown, but top 100.
10 is Ryan Wingo in Texas.
He's going to be in the should-be top 100. Has to prove. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You said Ryan Wingo.
Yeah.
Ryan Wingo's in the top 100.
Okay. 9 is Isaiah. What is it? Satinga?
Satinga. He's top 100.
Okay. 8 is Dallas Wilson.
Yeah. So all of these guys from 15 through 8 are future top 100 wide receivers. And, you know, the way this works now is you get 15, 20 wide receivers taken in the top 100. And you're going to get that, like, every year. And this group of guys, again, they're not all in the same class, but they're all going, those are all future top 100 guys. That's how loaded this multi-class group of receivers is. And again, it's important to remember, this is a multi-class group. So this is not like one NFL draft cycle. These are guys who are, a number of these guys are going to be in different draft cycles from one another. So it will only elevate their situation more. Well, Wilson is a freak. I mean, a true freak. It's just an issue of staying healthy, and that's a big issue. You know, Marty Schottenheimer, the best ability is availability.
7 is Deuce Robinson, FSU.
Again, a freak, a guy who's 6'6" and 240 pounds. And I just don't think anybody can handle him physically. Nobody in the college game can handle him, that's for sure. You know, he gets to the pro game and life will change for him a little. This is the nature of big receivers. Big receivers collegially dominate everybody. They get to the NFL and suddenly they find the cornerbacks are bigger, stronger, faster than the ones they were faced in college. But collegially, who has a cornerback that can deal with 6'6", 240? I mean, I think, for example, Clemson with Ashton Hampton is probably as well suited as anybody to try. But again, 6'6 doesn't come down. 6'6", 240 doesn't go down. Not to mention the fact, Deuce Robinson's good after the catch. It's not just the catch point. He's good after the catch. He can run at 6'6", 240. He's going to be a big problem. I mean, Florida State has some pieces. Whether they put it together or not, that's an entirely different question. I don't know the answer to that.
The next one is number 6. He's K.J. Duff at Rutgers.
This is basically the clone of number 7. K.J. Duff is built exactly like Deuce Robinson. He's 6'6", and he's 240. And he's really strong. He's extremely physical. He's great at the catch point. I don't know if he's as good a runner after the catch as Robinson is. Robinson may have a little more fluidity to him, but Duff is probably a little stronger. And so he runs through and over more guys. And he's going to have a big year. I mean, both those guys are going to have big years. And absolutely top 100 draft picks. They both could be round one draft picks, Duff and Robinson. The 6'6", 240-pound wide receivers on the list.
Okay, 5 is Charlie Becker at Indiana.
I fully believe Becker is a round one NFL wide receiver. He has all of the tools to be that. Now, he basically took over due to injury, and he hasn't played a ton. When he has played, he's been absolutely dominant. You're talking about a 6'4", 215-pound-plus receiver who is unbelievable at the catch point, just terrific. And people think, oh, well, you know, he's great at the catch point, but, you know, he's a white dude. Can he run? Yes. He's going to run under 4.4 at the combine. So I have a 6'4", 215, 220-pound receiver who's great at the catch point, has unbelievable hands, and is going to run a sub-4.4. Okay, that's a top 15 pick in the National Football League draft. That's what Becker is. With all due respect to Nick Marsh, who came over from Michigan State, Becker's better. Becker's faster, bigger, more talented. And I think Marsh is going to be great at Indiana. Again, Indiana's one of these teams that has at least two terrific wide receivers. So if you start rating wide receiver rooms, they're going to be in this conversation. He's what number?
He's 5.
Okay.
4 is DeCorian Moore at Oregon.
Yeah. Moore had, I don't know, 500 yards receiving last year. He was injured for a bit. Moore is the rising soft at Oregon. I know they have Evan Stewart back. I know all that. DeCorian Moore, we've used this word freak multiple times. DeCorian Moore is unbelievably freakish. He's only like 6 feet tall. He's not one of these mammoth receivers that we've been talking about. We'll get back to this on the other side. Waltip to the Road Rage.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
I'm here with Jeannie Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Jeannie, a listener asked, how much do your consulting services cost?
Hi, listener. Did you know that our services come completely free to you? Yes, we get paid, but we are paid by the insurance company